The book of Matthew, we began studying in September of 2008. The book of Mark, we began February of 2011. The book of Luke in December of 2012. So don't you think it's time to start John? Book of John chapter 1, we'll begin reading at verse 1 if you would, let us stand together. John chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for the truth. We thank You so much for life. We thank You, Lord, for the Word. We thank You for the unspeakable gift of Jesus Christ. Bless this day here at the Covenant Baptist Church. And Lord, may Your name be honored and glorified. May souls even be saved and hearts made right this day. In Jesus' name we pray and with thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Again, continuing the book of John, chapter 1, verse 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which was born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. At this time of the year, it's very important that we remember that Jesus Christ is truly the reason for the season. That it's more than the presents and tree, it's Jesus come down to redeem you and me. S.R. Briggs writes that the key word in the Gospel of John is life. Life is precious. And we realize this, that life can be snapped out in just a moment of time. But if we know Jesus Christ as our Savior, we can have eternal life. But of interest, he continues to tell us that the key verse in the book of John is not John 3:16, but that it is John chapter 20 and verse 31. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have the life through his name. How important it is that people know more than just the Christmas story. That they know more than just that Jesus was born and he was placed in a manger. It's more important that we know that he came to die for us than that three wise men, or how many ever wise men it was, came to visit him. The most important thing about the life of Jesus Christ was that he was willing to die for your sins and for my sins. And that without the shed blood of Christ, we will not have eternal life. If you look at the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, each one of them portrays him differently. In the book of Matthew, he is betrayed as the king. And a king needs a genealogy, and you find a genealogy in the book of Matthew. The book of Mark portrays Christ as a servant. Does a servant need a genealogy? He does not. And there is no genealogy found in the book of Mark. We find in the book of Luke, he is portrayed as a man. And many of us would say we need a genealogy. And again, in the book of Luke, there is a genealogy of Christ. And then in the book of John, we find that he is portrayed as the Son of God, who has been here for all eternity. For Jesus truly is God, God the Son, part of the Trinity. In the book of John, we find 7 times that Jesus said, I am. In the book of Exodus, God told Moses to tell the people that I am has sent you, that God himself has sent you. Jesus Christ repeatedly told the people in his day that he was God. And either they would believe him or they would not. And it's the same today. You either believe that Jesus Christ is God, our way into heaven, or we will deny him. And for all eternity, we will suffer in the fires of hell. Jesus said in John 6:35, I am the bread of life. He is the spiritual nourishment that we need. Now, for some of you, your stomach is telling you, feed me. Because we like physical food, don't we? Don't we? Yes, most of us like to eat. And he said, I am the bread of life. We find in John chapter 8, verse 12, he says, I am the light of the world. We find spiritual guidance. His desire is to guide us. And yet how many people ignore the light? They want the light turned off. I have told you that my wife has never found a light that she doesn't mind turning on. You know, light is necessary. Aren't you glad for the lights in here? Absolutely. If I told Jeff to leave the booth and to go back and turn off all the lights, you know there'd still be light in here, wouldn't there? There'd be the little lights on the trees and on the shining down here on the communion table, and there'd be light coming in from the windows, but it wouldn't be probably enough for most of you to read the Bible. Now, if you're like Gary down here, he's got his ink pen that we gave to the men on Father's Day, and he uses it to read the songbook with, and that's a good thing. Yes. But we need light. We need Jesus Christ. We find in John chapter 10, verse 7, he says, I am the door. That door will lead us into that second life, to be born again. The Bible tells us if we try to come some other way, we're as a thief and a robber. And there are many that are trying to get into heaven's glory another way than by Jesus Christ. There are some who think if I work hard enough and long enough, God has to let me in. God doesn't have to let you in. God has provided a way. And that way is through Jesus Christ. We find in the book of John again, chapter 10, verse 11, he said, I am the good shepherd. And the good shepherd took care of the sheep. And we find spiritual contentment. Folks, there is not contentment in our world today. We live in a world today that has no peace because they're trying to find it in money. It's amazing how they keep telling us we need a better economic system. Folks, what we need is Jesus Christ. We need an attitude change. And Jesus Christ can give us the contentment that we need. And that's what we need. He says, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the door. I am the good shepherd. We find in John 11:25, he says, I am the resurrection and the life. We find spiritual assurance. I'm glad to tell you that I know that when I die, and it could be today, God forbid, but if I were to die today, I would know where I would spend eternity. The book of 1 John tells us that we can know where we're going to go. I don't have to say, I hope so. We can know Jesus Christ gives us assurance, for he is the resurrection and the life. The great verse found in John 14, verse 6 says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. We find spiritual truth. We have a lot of people in our world today that are blinded by false doctrines, false teachings. Satan is alive and well on planet Earth, and he's doing his very best to confuse people. And he's using religion to do it. Isn't it one of the most confusing things in our society today? Is our religion? And what is happening in society under the name of religion? But Jesus said, I am the way, and I am the truth, and I am the life. And then in John 15, 1, the seventh I am, we find spiritual togetherness. He says, I am the true vine. He tells us we can do nothing without him. How important it is that we realize that he wants us to be nurtured by him, and he wants us to do well, and that he wants us to come unto him. Eight different times in the book of John, we find my, where Jesus says, I am going to give you my. If you would turn to the book of John chapter 14, John 14 and verse 27. As time permits, we'll look at these eight my's. And may I say this, spell check does not like M-Y-S. Verse 27, peace I leave with you. What peace? My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Jesus Christ is on the way to the cross. It's just around the corner. It's 3 days away, a couple of days away. And he is on the way. And he says, let not your heart be troubled. I'm going to give you my peace. The peace that the world doesn't know about. The peace that the world is trying to give you is counterfeit. But he gives you true peace. We find in John chapter 15, our next one, verse 7. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. My words. He wants to give you peace. He wants you to believe his words. Verse 8. Herein is my Father glorified that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be what? My disciples. Do you want to be a disciple of the Lord? Be careful. Do you want to be a disciple of the Lord? Tell me, do you? You're very quiet. You're tentative. You say, this is a quick trick question. It is. Do you want to be his disciples?
Yes.
Yes. 11 of them were martyred for the faith. Judas hung himself. Now you say, well, John died a natural death. Yeah, after they had boiled him. Do you want to be a disciple of Christ? Yes. How about the Apostle Paul? What'd they do to him? They cut off his head. You want to be a disciple of Christ? What'd they do to John the Baptist? They beheaded him. How badly do you want to be a disciple of Christ? Yes. It's painful sometimes to be a disciple of Christ. Do you remember what they did in Rome to the Christians? They covered them in tar. They put them on poles. They used them as lights at night to light their city. You want to be a disciple of Christ? See, sometimes it's a major decision to do that. They burned them at the stake. They would put them out at low tide and ask, do you want to be a Christian or you want to recant your faith? And the tide would come in and the water would rise and they'd say, do you want to recant or do you want to be a disciple of Christ? And they would drown. He said, you can be my disciples. Folks, it's a privilege. It's an honor. But there comes sometimes a payment that has to be done. And it may cost you dearly. Verse 9. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. continue ye in what? My love. Last night, Donna was doing something on her phone. She wasn't talking to anybody. I don't understand today's phones. We need to come up with a different name for them, don't we? You send pictures, you type, you do all kinds of things. What's his name? Mr. Bell. Alexander Graham Bell. Was that his name? Yes. He would not believe what they've done to his phone. And she's sitting there on the chair, and she's got Bandit on her lap. She's got Oreo squeezing against her, and Casey is on her shoulder. They love her, and she loves them. But the love that the Lord has for you is far greater than that. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should have everlasting life. Aren't you glad you can have everlasting life? Verse 12. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. My commandment. Now there's where it gets sticky, isn't it? We don't mind his love, and I don't even mind being called a disciple, but do I have to keep his commandments? Love one another. How were the people of the world to know that they were a believer? It was because of the love they have one for another. Let anybody ever tell you that love is easy. Love is hard. And it costs. It costs. We find, verse 14. Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Friend, what a precious word. How many friends do you have? How many people do you consider your friends? And we can be a friend of the Lord. In verse 11, we find my joy. Also in chapter 17, verse 13, we can have his joy. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. He brings true joy. And then in chapter 17, verse 24, we have my glory. The glory of the Lord can be seen. It can be seen in the soul that has been saved, in the soul that desires to serve Jesus Christ. Quickly, back to the book of John, chapter 1. There are 11 different titles for Jesus in this first chapter of John. In verse 1, we find in the beginning was the Word. Who is the Word? Jesus is the Word. He is the final Word. He is the absolute Word. He is the Word that all should live by. He is the Word. In verse 4, we find him that he is life. The life that he provides. Life is precious. And eternal life is even more precious. In verse 7, we find that he is the light. John the baptizer came to bear witness of him. We are to bear witness of the light. You say we live in a dark world. That means the light will shine even better. Are you shining your light for Christ? In verse 14, we find that he is the only begotten of the Father. In verse 17, we find that he is Jesus the Christ. He is the Messiah, the long-awaited Messiah. Do you know there are still Jews who are looking for the Messiah to come? Because they didn't accept Christ as the Messiah. They were expecting a king. He came in as a servant. He came in as a Savior. He is the Messiah. We find in verse 23, in fact, let's read verse 23. He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord. And said the prophet Isaiah. We find that he is the Lord. He is the Lord. And then verse 29, And the next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto them and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Does it say, if you work hard enough, you'll get into heaven? Does it say, if you have the right religion, you'll get into heaven? How is it that we can get into heaven? It's through the Lamb. His shed blood. I'm always irked by people who have gone to a church their whole life and they've been told over and over again, work this and do this and God will let you in. There's only one way into heaven and that's through Jesus Christ. He is the Lamb from the foundation of the world, the one that would have to die. In verses 32 through 34, we find that He is the Son of God. We find in verses 35 through 38 that He is the Master. We find in verse 45 that Jesus was of Nazareth. We also find in verse 45 that He is the son of Joseph. Oh, may I say this, He has many titles. Is He your Savior? Is He your Lord and King? Is He the one that will make sure that you have someone you can go to in time of need? Pastor Stephen, could you go back to the box back there and turn on number two? Number two. I'm going to need a couple of volunteers. You say, Pastor Paul, it's 2 minutes to 12. That's all the time I need. I'm going to ask you to say three things. Number one, I will name one thing I don't care if I ever eat again. I don't care if I ever eat again. Number two, something that I like to eat at least once a week. And then number three, something I would not mind having at least three times a week. It's simple. Let me just say this. Something I hope I never eat again, marshmallows. I don't care if I never have another marshmallow the rest of my life. Something I wouldn't mind eating at least once a week, pizza. And something I would not mind eating at least three times a week, Swiss cheese and an onion bagel. Okay, so very good. I'm going to start with my wife. Ding dong, ding dong. Jeez. What's that?
Why don't I like
Jeopardy?
This is hard for me. You better pick somebody else.
Do you have something?
I wouldn't want to eat tuna salad.
No tuna salad.
Mm-mm.
Okay, but what would you like every week?
Taco salad.
Taco salad, and three times a week.
Cereal.
Cereal. All right, Karen, you want to? No. Okay. Gary, no. Paul. Okay.
I never ever want to eat shrimp again.
There you go, shrimp.
Because it'd kill me.
It'd kill you.
Yeah. Once a week, I guess I would like Cheerios.
Cheerios, okay.
And three times a week, eggs.
Eggs, very good. Anybody else?
I wouldn't want to eat tomatoes.
No tomatoes for the rest of your life.
Yep.
No pizza.
Well,
no spaghetti.
That's processed tomatoes. That's
not a tomato. Okay, that's processed. Okay.
Once a week, cheeseburgers.
Cheeseburgers.
Three times a week, pizza.
Pizza. I could do pizza three times a week also. All right. Yes. Yes. I'm running out of time. It's at 12 o'clock. Somebody's watch is going to go off in a minute, and I'm going to lose all of you. You say, Pastor Paul, what is that all about? Let me tell you what it's all about. It's how people treat church. I never want to eat marshmallows again. That's how some people treat church. They don't ever want to go to church again. There are some people who say, I like pizza once a week. That's how some people act. I love Swiss cheese. I love Swiss cheese on an onion bagel toasted. Throw a little bit of Miracle Whip on it. Not the light. How do you think about church? Is it the marshmallows? Well, obviously not. You're here. Is it the once-a-time pizza? Or is it the Swiss cheese on bagel three times? Let's stand together. Jesus Christ died for the church. He loves the church. He cares for the church. He died that souls could be saved. Dear Heavenly Father, we, as we have this invitation time, we ask, Lord, now that you would bless it and use it for your honor and your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.